Thank goodness the Kings came through last night, because otherwise the sports weekend had been a little bit dreary. Disappointing loss for the Kings Friday night, of course, and then yesterday, I don't know what happened to the 49ers against the Bengals, 31-17, but I know Kyle Draper has been waiting and waiting and waiting since the end of that game to come on the radio and talk about it.
You know, Whitey, I'm going to just call it like I see it. Brock Purdy, he's a good quarterback, but I think we can all stop comparing him to Joe Montana right now. We can all stop putting him into that elite category. Trent Williams goes down, Debo goes down, and Brock Purdy looks like Jimmy Garoppolo all of a sudden. That's what he looks like. Some of those passes late in that game, I watched that game, and, you know, the first interception, great play by the defense, the tip, and then great play. But the second one, he threw it right to the guy. I think it was Oliver, maybe, who picked it off. And then he should have had a third interception outside of that bogus roughing the passer penalty. I know they say you can't hit the quarterback low, but it wasn't like he got him below the knees or anything. Like, I thought that was a good tackle. And then to follow it up with a fumble.
Yep.
That ended the game. And so I thought the first half, Brock Purdy was good. Most of the third quarter, I thought he was good. But once again, I've said it and I'll say it again. When it comes time to make a play to win you a football game, Brock Purdy did not come through last night. Like, and I'm going to say this, Niners fan.
You know how many yards he threw for yesterday?
They were down and he had to chuck
it. Right. But do you know how many yards? Because this is one of the things.
350 or something? 365. That's garbage. That's garbage numbers. That's empty.
Those are the type of numbers that when you were critical of Brock before the season started, that's the type of thing you were saying he couldn't do.
You know what the most important number is?
I do.
The final score.
I do.
And he came up for the third straight time, the losing end of the final score. And what that shows me, Niners fans, you're in danger of becoming the Dallas Cowboys. You're in danger of becoming a front-running team. We've talked about it last week, Whitey. When they get off to an early start, get a lead, then things start flowing for them offensively. Once again, they had to play from behind, and they just could not come back. With Shanahan's record, we went over this last week. When they're trailing by five or more going into the fourth.
It's like 0-39.
0-39. They just, I don't know what it is, and I don't want to turn this into a Brock Purdy bash fest, because he was just one of the issues last night. Treverius Ward, what was up with him in that first half? All the penalties, he got beat. The defensive line, sure, Armstead had a couple of sacks, but where's Bosa at? Bosa signed a massive deal.
What happened to the play where Armstead's phenomenal, but he had Burrow? This was on their first drive. He had him.
And Burrow spun.
And Burrow got away, and then someone else had him, and he still got away.
The poor tackling. Yes. And you know, that's an issue. They made Joe Mixon look like Franco Harris or Earl Campbell out there, the way he was breaking tackles.
That's the problem.
The run defense?
Yes. Yeah. You make great points about Purdy. You know, we go back and forth on that. And today I'm obviously at a disadvantage. The two interceptions, you know, you said he almost made a great play. The interception where the lineman reached up and snagged it.
Yeah.
Brock Purdy had zero reason to throw the ball. Because there was linemen downfield. Because it was supposed to be...
Right, it's supposed to be a handoff, right?
Handoff or a quick shovel to Kittle. Yeah. That didn't happen, so then he's going to make something happen. But he said later, he goes, I got to realize there's linemen downfield because it was supposed to be a run play. So even if it was completed, it would have been a penalty.
Yeah, it was a penalty anyway.
So there's
no
reason to throw the ball. And then the second one, were you by chance listening to the station? Because it's funny what you said about the second one's like Garoppolo. Tim Ryan said
he said that.
I hate to say this. He said, because we love Jimmy G, but the second interception was like a Jimmy G.
Wow. So, I didn't hear that, but that's what it felt like. And, you know, Brock Purdy's biggest strength has been his decision making.
Right.
And over the last 3 weeks,
five interceptions.
Exactly. Yeah. And so that's a cause for concern. And, you know, when things are going well, he seems to be great. He seems to be very good. But as soon as they face a little bit of adversity, a player gets injured, you're down and you need him. There's no reason. When Brock Purdy's at his best, Whitey, and I know I say I want him to throw for 300, 400 yards, but that's to get the win. In the games that the Niners win, he's at 230, 240.
Well, I understand that.
The
You're
running
right.
game helps him out. Where's the running game been at?
Well, that's the other big problem. Yeah. And Purdy, by the way, I thought he had some big-time throws yesterday.
Yes.
And both things are true. The two interceptions were back-breaking. Right. The biggest problem, though, is that he is playing from behind. Why? Because the defense, which is supposed to be the foundation for all the success the 49ers have, the defense stinks right now. It is bad.
Why is that, though? Like, is it the front four? Is it Steve Wilkes? Is it the secondary?
Yes.
Is it all of it?
Steve Wilkes may have the least to do with it. You know, they were complaining, rightfully so, about the zero blitz he dialed up last week. So his game plan yesterday was, let's go basics here.
Yep.
We're going to play basic football. We've got all this talent. Our talent's going to take over. And you saw what happened.
I tell you what.
It was bad.
Everybody wants to get on Steve Wilkes. That's low-hanging fruit. Steve Wilkes cannot make them tackle better. Steve Wilkes cannot make that front.
He can't sack the quarterback.
He can't sack. Exactly.
Nobody
get pressure.
Can.
Steve Wilkes is not responsible for Joe Mixon averaging 5.4 yards per carry yesterday. Like, now, if you want to talk about scheme in the secondary and guys running free in the secondary and blame that on Steve Wilkes, okay. But where's that defensive line? This was supposed to be one of the top defensive lines in all of football.
And they're paid like it.
And they're paid like it. They're not getting pressure on the quarterback, and they're giving up big gains on the red ground.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. The 49ers are supposed to run the ball and stop the run, and right now they're not doing either one very well. And then the next thing you know, Brock Purdy's trying to do more than he's capable of doing. Try this on last two games. Kirk Cousins, Joe Burrow, combine their stats. 66 for 77 for 661 yards. That's not even a real number. Right? Those numbers are like, those can't be true.
That can't be
against
true.
Against this defense, 66 for 77.
Wow.
661
and Burrow,
in two games.
He only had four incompletions. What did he have, like 21 or 22 straight or something like that? He was just dicing them up. And
he had almost as many touchdowns as incompletions.
It's unbelievable. And so there's a lot of blame to go around. The bye week is coming at the right time. But if I'm the players, you got to look in the mirror. Because the missed tackles, I mean, that just can't happen if you're trying to win a ball game. This was sort of a must-win game. At home, back home against Cincinnati, a team that sort of is rounding into shape right now. And Joe Burrow looked the best he's looked all season long. But that was putrid. And where's CMC been? I know he had the touchdowns. But
17 straight games with a touchdown.
But 12 carries. Remember earlier in the season, he was getting 20 carries.
Well,
21.
Like you said, I think it has to do with what you said before.
Yeah.
You're behind, you can't run the ball.
Right, right. So whose fault is that? Niners got the ball first in this game yesterday.
And what happened? You meant first play, eight yards. Wow.
And then
they run
they
their
bread
and butter,
at,
their zone stretch. And here we go, 8 yards. And then they had to punt.
And they had to punt, a three and out after that. You get 8 yards on your first play.
Yeah.
Next two, you can't get two more. And so this team has a lot of soul searching to do. It's not Steve Wilkes' fault. It's not Kyle Shanahan's fault. And I'm watching ESPN today, and they made a great point. What they need to fix, they can do it in-house. It's not like they need to go
That's
out
what
there.
Kyle says.
Yeah, they have the answers in-house. Guys just have to be better. The defensive line has to be better. I understand Trent Williams, that's been a huge loss on that left side. No doubt about that. You know, give all the credit to that left side of, like, without Trent Williams, it is difficult. I get it. But there's no way this defense should get shredded by Joe Burrow and Kirk Cousins like they did in back-to-back weeks.
Well, as you said, Joe Mixon looked like Jim Brown or something.
Right.
They're not a good running team.
They're not a good running
and
team.
And he just ran roughshod over the 49ers. Is it possible that now that he's been paid, Nick Bosa is not the same player? No one wants to even broach that. Is that possible?
It's looking like it's possible. He did get a couple of pressures, and then Armstead got the credit for the sack. But he hasn't been.
But yeah.
He's not on track to get 19, 20 sacks.
No,
nowhere near
no.
that, right? And so I don't want to blame the contract, but he has to be better. They gotta, they bring in Gregory. I thought Gregory actually was pretty decent yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
He looks good. Where's Hargrave been at? You know, like, where's he been at? And so
you can't trust anybody you get from Philly.
There's a reason why Philly let him go there, right? Go ahead.
Another thing Tim Ryan said yesterday I thought was really interesting. You know, when he starts breaking down X's and O's, like, ooh, here's somebody who knows. I might learn something. He said Robert Saleh told him years ago, when Robert Saleh was, of course, the coordinator, the key to this defense is the guys on the edges and the corners, they got to be great. So the guys, the edge rushers and the corners got to be great. Tim Ryan says they're not right now. They're just not very good. And so the whole thing is breaking down defensively.
Well, when you look at, you know, football, if you're unable to get pressure on the quarterback, if your edge rushers aren't getting pressure, and your secondary isn't doing well, like, you have no shot, right? You have no, like, somebody has to do something. All right, if you're not going to get a pressure, at least you should have some lockdown corners out there and safety help and everything. They're not getting anything
right
now.
They're built the other way. It's their, all their money's on the front. So they can take some pressure off the secondary. So if the front's not doing their job, basically you're weaker than you'd like. Secondary is exposed. And that's the whole thing right now. It's like, at every turn, the 49ers with smoke and mirrors will conceal, overcome this weakness with that. It's like, nope, all your weaknesses now are exposed because of the injuries and poor play and poor coaching.
Is it poor? See, everybody.
Well, I'm not talking about Steve Wilkes so much. I'm talking about Shanahan.
Oh, yeah, all right.
I mean, isn't he responsible ultimately for the way this all fits together? And you got an offense that can't come from behind? Well, that doesn't sound like a very masterful offensive scheme.
But let me ask you this. This is the same defense that held Dallas to 10 points. Beat them 42. What's happening now? Like, have they regressed or, you know, what's going on? We can't talk about Steve Wilkes and the scheme. That's why the scheme was fine early on the first 5 weeks of the season when they held Dallas to 10 points. Nobody was talking about Steve Wilkes then. The onus is on the players. They just have to be better. The strength of this team, we thought, was going to be the defensive line. The linebacking core, I think, has been playing well. Mm-hmm.
Seems like it.
Yeah. But, man, the defensive line, they've been getting gashed on the ground for three straight weeks right now. It started with the Cleveland game and then, obviously, last week with Minnesota and now this past week as well. They got some issues, man.
And maybe this team isn't as deep as they hoped they'd be, and so you lose Trent Williams, you lose Debo, and you're going to feel those losses more than you hoped you would.
Do you make a move at the trade deadline? What, 1 o'clock, I think, tomorrow?
Uh-huh.
What do they need? That's what I want to know. Secondary help. I mentioned wide receiver help as well. Hopefully Debo comes back after the bye week. But they've been exposed. Their wide receiver depth, to me, has been exposed.
I'll tell you what they need and where they might be able to get it when we come right back on The Drive, guys. Sacktown Sports. Yeah, we got a familiar problem today with Monday Night Football coming up. We're only with you till 4:30, and we got, Kyle, as you well know, we got too much show and not enough time.
So many things to get to, right? Yeah. I mean, we had that great interview with Kendrick Perkins. We're diving into Niners now, but, you know, I would love to hear from fans, like Niners fans, 916-339-1140. What needs to happen? How do you fix this? How are you feeling? Like, I don't think anybody thought this team would have lost three straight. We were talking, you know, 16-1, 15-2,
after that fight.
They looked unbeatable, and now they can't seem to do anything right. And I don't want to just say Trent Williams hurt, Debo's hurt. Is that all it takes for this whole thing to fall apart?
Part of it, but no, I don't know. It must be the perfect storm. I'm walking my dog today. I'm walking Moby, and Skip, my neighbor, says, hey, 49ers going to get rid of that quarterback? They're going to replace Purdy?
Oh, my God. Zero chance that happens, right?
I don't think so, Skip. And he goes, yeah, you know, they got that guy from the Jets. I said, yeah, I don't think so. I tried to tell him what we were just talking about. You know, I tried to tell him the defense is terrible. He goes, yeah, it is. But people are starting to wonder, hey, no wonder this Purdy guy nobody drafted him till the last pick. Maybe he's not that good. So maybe some of this was inevitable. I think also when you look at the way Purdy played his last year in college, you know, he kind of threw the ball all over the place. So I thought at some point he might start getting a little loosey-goosey with the ball. But it's just a combination of the timing on all these things is just terrible for the 49ers.
Yes, and that's the thing. You know, for 3.5 quarters, he's looking great. For 3 quarters, he's looking great. But then on back-to-back throws, he throws a pick. Let me ask you this, though, because, you know, we're talking so much about the defense and how bad it is. And it was bad yesterday, for sure. It was bad against Kirk Cousins and the Vikings last week. But you're not going to win many games when you score 17, 17. They've scored 17 in each of the last three games.
Was it 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 17, 17, 17?
Right, yeah. It was 30, 30, 30, 35, 42, 17, 17, yeah. 17. And so we could talk about the defense, and the defense was bad. But this offense is struggling as well. Brock Purdy was their leading rusher yesterday.
Yeah.
Think about that.
He did a good job in that regard.
No, exactly. I thought what he was able to do with his legs, and you're right, he made some great throws. But when it's time to win a game, he had three turnovers in the last, quarter and change.
Yeah.
I think it was.
And all turnovers are not created equal. And a turnover in the red zone,
yes,
when there's no reason to throw the ball,
yes,
is just a killer.
That you're about to go in. You're about to score. And, I thought going into halftime, trailing only 14-10, if you're the Niners, the way the Bengals were moving up, you were good. You're still right there in this game. But the offense never really got going in that. And then Brock Purdy, I wonder if the concussion situation, I don't want to make excuses for the guy, but he took another shot. He got hit, went back, his head hit the ground, and then after that he threw the pick, which was called back, and then the fumble. And he looked clearly shaken up there at the end.
I mean, I understand where you're going. Who knows? 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Tyrone joins us. Tyrone, you're on with Draper and Gleason. Drive Guys, what's up?
Hey, man, how you doing, man? First of all, I'd like to make a little correction real quick. Kyle, he's 0-for-30 when he 5 and plus when he's fourth quarter. He's 0-for-30. Y'all said 39. It's okay. It's all right. But
that is, you know what that is, Tyrone? That's, I think, when they're behind by
eight or more.
The fourth quarter.
Okay.
I think they're 0. Yeah. So thank you for the correction.
No. It's actually 5 points. But anyway, because I called in with the information last week. But listen, can we question the coach? I'm going to go for, because Mr. Drapes, you was right. You tried to tell them 3 weeks ago. Then just look at this guy. You know what I'm saying? So we have to look at his moments when he's playing the game. You know, every possession yesterday, it meant something. So that's pressure added on like a golf shot. You know, you have to hit the golf shot. You had to get on the green. It's added pressure. So that added pressure, like Drapes said 3 weeks ago, let's see how he plays under the pressure. And we see he cannot play up under the pressure. And I think the coach cannot coach under that same pressure. So I'm thinking that we kind of have to blame both parties. And also you guys are blaming the defense, but you have to look at the coach also. I mean, with that record 0-30, and then you have a quarterback, I mean, it's kind of hard to say, well, in the fourth quarter, you know, you can't come back when you're down by 8 or more. You know what I'm saying? That's kind of a tough stat. So, you know, kind of speak on that, Drapes, but I just want to give you your props, Drapes. You try to tell him. They didn't believe you. They tried to put him on the Joe Montana, man, the elite quarterback of the world. Man, that was a violation, man. That was a violation.
Right, but that was disrespectful to Joe Montana.
Disrespectful to Joe, man. But I'm going to say, Drapes, man, you're doing a wonderful job. You guys are doing a wonderful job. But just speak on that a little bit, man. It might be coaching a little bit. What do you think? Can he coach under the pressure?
That's a great question, Ty.
I just want to point this out to you right here. 49ers set unwanted record under Kyle Shanahan, 37 losses in a row when trailing by eight or more points. That was before yesterday.
That'd
be 38.
And that's a valid criticism, right? I mean, let's look at it. In the high-level, high-pressure situations, you know, does Kyle Shanahan tighten up a little bit? You know, we can go all the way back to his days in Atlanta. I know people don't want to, you know, fault him for that, you know, up 28-3 and losing that game in the Super Bowl, but something has to be done. Like, for some reason, you can't come back? Like, it's not going to always be sunshine and rainbows. And that's why I think this whole notion of putting, you know, Brock Purdy in the same category as a Joe Montana or even as a Josh Allen, who's had his struggles. But I tell you what.
By the way, Jesse Sapolu also did that, you know.
Yeah, but Jesse, you know, he's drinking that Niners Kool-Aid.
Okay.
He's supposed
All
to
right.
hype up
All
the
right.
quarterback. But when it comes time, can Brock Purdy win you a game? That's what I want to see. I know everything. When you're up 14-0, Brock Purdy, you look great. I get it. I understand that. But I need you, because we're talking Super Bowls, Whitey. We're not talking regular season. We're bang, bang, Niner gang. That's all I heard was we're a Super Bowl or bust kind of team. Well, these are the games that Brock Purdy has to say, you know what? Debo's out. Trent's out. My defense isn't getting it done. I'm going to will this team somehow, some way. And I don't think he's there yet. And I know he's young. I understand that. But the way everybody anointed this guy, Kyle Shanahan, he's the real deal. He's looking suspect right now these last three weeks.
I mean, he's come close. He came close to rallying them against Cleveland. Didn't do it. Did not do it. Came close against Minnesota and then really came up short. And then yesterday, same thing. I think part of it is, I don't think it's so much Kyle Shanahan feels the pressure and essentially chokes under pressure as it is his whole offense and the way he sets up everything is built to play from ahead and his entire playbook. Once you get to the where's the section of when we're behind, Kyle?
Right.
Well, I don't have much in. I don't have a lot in there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to make an excuse for Brock Purdy, but I don't think Kyle Shanahan forgets how to coach is that his everything is set up to play from ahead. And then when they're behind,
right.
And part of it is the quarterbacks that he chooses to run his system.
Yeah, 100%. And we've talked about this because Kyle Shanahan obviously is an offensive genius. I'm not going to take anything away from him. But his belief, to me, when I watch it, is that the system is greater than the actual quarterback. Like, I can plug in anybody in my system, will get it done. And for the most part, it has, but there comes a time when quarterbacks have to make plays. They got to make throws. Coach can't hold your hand. And that's what we're seeing with Brock Purdy right now. He is struggling when the game matters the most. That's the thing, Whitey. You could throw for 365 yards, great. But when it's winning time, in the fourth quarter.
No, I know that.
Let's see those
that.
Numbers.
I did, and the reason I even mentioned that is because that some people were pointing out Brock Purdy, oh, he doesn't throw for 300 yards. Well, you don't want to have to. But when he has to and the 49ers have to, they're at a huge disadvantage, as most teams are. And again, I just want to clarify because, Tyrone, thank you for calling. Thanks for your points. But it is when they're down 8 or more in the fourth quarter, yeah. Kyle Shanahan's 49ers are now 0-38, according to right here, essentiallysports.com. Okay? So I think we were talking about two different numbers.
Yeah, two different numbers. Let me ask you this because – and to your point, when things are going good and they get up, do they abandon the run a little too much, though? Like, I'm looking at CMC's numbers, and I know he was banged up a few weeks ago. 22 carries, 20 carries, 18 carries, 20 carries, 19 carries. After that, 11, 15, 12. So what I'm seeing is teams are keying on CMC right now.
Yeah.
Especially with no Debo. They're saying, you know what? We're going to put 5, 6, 7 in the box and make Brock Purdy try and beat us.
No Debo and no Trent Williams.
Yeah.
And
yep.
You go back to the Minnesota game, and Minnesota basically did what the 49ers should have done against Cleveland, which is you ain't running the ball.
Right.
So what are you going to do about it? And I think we're seeing more and more of that. Teams learn. What happened? How'd they beat the 49ers? They just shut down, don't let them run. And then you got to have the quarterback's got to throw. All right, teams are having success with that. That's a little bit of an oversimplification, but that's what's going on.
But that's why I go back to, Whitey, you should not, and I understand the importance of Trent Williams, so I'm going to put Trent on the shelf over here. That's
his
own
back. We all agree. We're all on the same page about him
and
how good he is.
Just because you lose Debo, the offense shouldn't fall apart.
I agree.
And so that's why I think they need to improve the depth at wide receiver before 1 o'clock tomorrow. I don't know who to go out there and get. You're not going to get Davante Adams. But it needs to be somebody more reliable. Because right now, it's Ayuk, it's Kittle, and it's CMC. Somebody else on the other side has to help Brock Purdy out.
Is phenomenal. But what difference? Let me ask you this. As you always say,
Yeah.
What difference does it make who my receiver is if my quarterback's going to throw it to the other team's linebacker?
Ooh, boom, boom, boom.
Right?
That's true.
Right.
That's true. 100% that's true. But you know what? 17 points in each of the last three games. That's not going to get it done.
A lot of people around the game are suggesting that the 49ers are looking for help in the secondary and still looking for pass rushing help. And it came out today, Jordan Schultz of Bleacher Report, he reported that the Washington Commanders are, quote, actively initiating trade talks, end quote, for defensive ends Montez Sweat and Chase Young. They're both they're terrific pass rushers. They're both going to become free agents. Sweat has 5.5 sacks, 10 quarterback hits, and 8 tackles. Young has 5 sacks, 9 quarterback hits, 6 tackles for loss. So according to Jordan Schultz, these guys, the Commanders like, hey, who wants these guys? Right. So that's a situation to keep an eye on because, according to reports, that's exactly what the 49ers are looking for. So maybe there's some help there.
That's pathetic. You went and got Randy Gregory. You had the best front four in football
working.
Last season.
Exactly.
So how
working.
Many more all-stars, all-pros do you want to go out and get? It's like, I thought you had the squad in-house. You don't need to go out there and get... It's ridiculous. That shows me that the Niners, it's a player thing, Whitey. I keep telling you, it's not
receiver. How about secondary?
See, secondary, I'd rather focus on secondary than defensive line. I think your defensive line is fine. Guys just got to play better.
The 49ers have had early season problems before. Why does this rough patch feel different? We're right back with that on the Drive Guys Sacktown Sport. I appreciate all the suggestions here. On the YouTube chat, text line 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Is there a way out of this mess for the 49ers? What is it? We'll do one more segment on the 49ers, then we probably swing back to the victorious Kings because, well, frankly, I'm getting tired of hearing Kyle gloating about, 49ers lost,
no
the Eagles
need to
won.
Gloat. Nah, no need to gloat,
the Eagles had an interesting contest yesterday.
Yeah, Washington always plays them tough. You know, I was disappointed in that defense yesterday. They made Sam Howell look like Joe Theismann out there the way he was playing. But they did come up with a big pick late and then extended it. And so we move on.
Yeah.
What are we, 7-1 now?
And the Chiefs fall to the
Broncos. How about that, right? Upset of the season.
Not sure how much you were able to see yesterday because I know you were working last night, but did you see all the throwback helmets we had yesterday? The Seahawks throwbacks, the Titans.
No, I missed that. I didn't.
The Oilers had throwbacks.
I did see the Oilers.
The Dolphins were there, old Dolphin with the little helmet on. And then, if I'm not mistaken, tonight the Lions are going to wear like a blue helmet that we've never seen before.
Oh, really?
So I think the Lions, it's not a throwback, I think the Lions are busting something out today, tonight against the Raiders that we've never seen before. But 49er fans have seen these slow starts before. I think this one feels different, Kyle, because you go back to 2021, the 49ers were 3-5. Then they turned it around. Last year, they were 3-4. They turned it around. But this year, they started strong.
Yeah.
You know, it's one thing to start slow and then figure it out.
Right, right.
But when you start strong and then you start playing poorly, that's a lot more worrisome.
Yeah, and you know, I'm not worried about this team, Whitey, regular season. But like I said, they're matched up against the Eagles. Their arms race is with the Eagles, even though I believe the Seahawks are ahead of them in the division
right now. That's true. Thanks for pointing that out.
I know you hate the Seahawks, but you know, but there's still plenty of time to turn it around. I said you don't lose the or win the Super Bowl in October, and I got to stick with that. But right now, things are looking bleak, and so I wonder if teams have figured out the blueprint here for the San Francisco 49ers. Yeah, stack it up against CMC, contain him, and then you make Brock Purdy beat you. And sure, he threw for 365 yards, but he made some turnovers down the stretch there. And so this may be a little different than previous years. You know, what we saw to start the season sort of reminded me of what they did towards the end of the season. You know, how they got rolling and then it just started snowballing. And so that's why we were thinking 14-3, 15-2, whatever it may be. But this Niners team, the last three games, this is unrecognizable. Like, I haven't seen them play this bad. And you could throw out the NFC Championship game, obviously, because of the injuries and everything. But they look bad these last 3 weeks on both sides of the ball.
ESPN just threw a stat up there. First six games, the 49ers defense was giving up 198 yards per game passing. 198. Last two games have given up 322 yards per game. And I mentioned earlier, these numbers are so insane. Cousins and Burrow, last two games combined, 66 for 77. So it's a lot of different things.
Yeah.
A lot of people on the chat are pointing out, oh, they really miss Trent Williams. And when you think about it in your mind's eye, you remember a lot of Christian McCaffrey's spectacular runs early in the year, and they did go left a lot.
Yeah.
He did follow Trent Williams a lot.
And the broadcast yesterday, CBS did a good job of illustrating and showing that left side of the offensive line and how the Niners, because they couldn't run that way, they tried to get outside going to the right side. And I just think, you know, what we're seeing is teams saying, you know what, Christian McCaffrey, you're not going to beat us. Sure, you'll get your touchdowns.
Yeah.
But you are not going to be, especially with Debo out. And so it's back to the drawing board. I think this bye is coming at a perfect time. They need this bye. They need to hit the reset button. And, you know, I got to pull up their schedule. It's not like it's an easy schedule. I know you got Arizona coming up in just
Baltimore,
a little bit.
You got Jacksonville. You got the Seahawks
right.
twice.
Yeah, yeah. You got, look at this, at Jacksonville, home against Tampa Bay. You should be able to beat that team. But then you got at Seattle, at Philly, home against Seattle. Mm-hmm. So, you know, four out of their next five games arguably are against playoff teams. So it's going to be tough.
It could be very, yeah. very tough, especially the way they are playing. And I admit, I was one with blinders on, like, after the Cleveland game. Oh, they're fine. That was just a blip. Minnesota, that's right. just another blip. But now it's like, nope, there are a lot of things wrong. Not just something wrong. There are a lot of things wrong all at once with this team.
Yeah, how do you fix it, though? Is it personnel? Is it coaching? Is guys just need to be better? Do you got to make some trades? Like, there's so many holes right now. With this Niners team, we thought they were a complete team to start the season. We had some questions about the right side of the offensive line, and I think they've been doing actually an okay job out there on the right. How do you fix this if you're the Niners? That's the question.
I think it starts with health. That gives you the best chance. Yeah. Then, guys, Fred Warner said it. Burford said it. Brock Purdy saying it. They do. Players have to play better. Brock
yes.
Purdy has to stop giving the ball right. to the other team.
No, 100%.
Right. Almost literally handing the game to the other team.
Like that turnover in the red zone down, you know, at the 10-yard line or whatever, that's a backbreaker. That's, you know, you got the momentum. What was the score at? Was it 24-10
at that
time?
At that point, I think
Or was
they
it
were,
17-10?
I thought it was only 17.
It might have been 17.
I have to double check.
Yeah, it might have been 17. And you go in, you tie the game up, and
yeah.
man, you're right. I think you're right. It was 17 because I'm watching that game, and the Bengals turning the ball over at the 5-yard mm-hmm. line like that. I'm
that
like, oh, my gosh, you just gave the Niners some life. You kept them in the game. You score there. You get the ball back to start the second half. You score again, and the game's over. So the Niners have had their chances offensively. They just, you know, you can't win when you score 17 points. I know they did last season. Let me look up last year's because their defense was so great last season. And I think that's what you're seeing this season, Whitey, is like when the offense struggles, the defense is not picking them up.
Right.
They're not winning games defensively. Mm-hmm. To win mm-hmm. games, they got to score 30 points, and it's not happening right now.
To your point about the receiver lack of depth, I think there's one type of receiver that they – are missing, and they just decided they didn't want to go that way. I just saw, I know I mentioned the ESPN's graphics, Tyreek Hill now is the first guy, I think, since 1961 with 1,000 yards receiving in the first 8 games. Right?
Wow.
That's, yeah. The 49ers don't have that type of player because they decided they wanted to get bigger, stronger players that can't be jammed at the line of scrimmage.
Right.
So Ayuk, you know, Ayuk's a great player.
He's great.
But he's not like a burner that's going to blow the top off the coverages. They don't have that type of player.
And they need it. So Ayuk is what, a intermediate kind of route kind of player? You know, he's not a Debo underneath short passes and then turns.
Right. He's sort of a hybrid, but he qualifies right. as there. He's like their deep threat. What is that, their X or their
yeah,
Z?
X or yeah, Z, yeah. And Debo's what, the Y, I guess, more inside. But here's the thing. When you don't have Debo out there, as I'm watching Jimmy G warm up, Raiders with a big game tonight.
Attaboy, Jimmy.
Yeah, when you don't have Debo out there, a lot of times when you watch the Niners this season, the passes are 5-6 yards, but Debo takes them 15, 20.
Oh, yeah,
20.
Yards after,
the,
catch
yards
is
after
huge.
The catch is huge, and we're not seeing that. Teams are keying on CMC. You don't have Debo. Ayuk's playing great. Like, Ayuk is getting open, mm-hmm. but –
he didn't have the ball bounce off his face.
Right.
Come on. That's the type of thing. You know, when everything's going badly and then the ball hits the receiver in the face mask.
All right.
That's Harry High School stuff, you know?
That is. That's a doink. That's what we call that one, a doink. And so I always thought CMC was the most important player on this offense, but Debo is proving his worth right now by not playing like these last couple of games. They need him.
The last few weeks we'd have these conversations and I'd say, oh, they'll turn around. They might. I don't know. It's just so many different things now going the wrong way for them. Clearly they can, but will they? I don't know. We'll see if they decide to do something at the deadline tomorrow. I mean, that'll be a real tell, right? If they go out and do something big, that's a tell that they look around and go, hey, we need help.
Yeah.
We're in trouble.
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, when you look at it, there's a number of areas. They say they need perhaps defensive line help, according to reports. We say secondary. I agree with the secondary. And I also think they need wide receiving help as well.
Mm-hmm. Fingers crossed if you're a 49er fan. Coming up next, how the Kings made it a LeBron-iversary worth celebrating on a special night at the Golden One. It's next here. Gleason and Draper, the Drive Guys on Sactown Sports. Before we get back to the Kings, here's a glimmer of hope for 49er fans. Kyle Draper was just running down the Eagles' schedule.
The toughest schedule in all of football.
Not the easiest schedule I've ever heard.
Let me run it down for you. Home against Dallas.
Loss. Sorry, I
at thinking. Kansas City. That's going to be, that's like virtually impossible to get that win. I know Detroit did it earlier this year, but that was week one. Like, that's going to be home against Buffalo. That should be a win. Home against San Francisco. That's a win. At Dallas, at Seattle.
Even if you win half of those games, you're going to be so beaten up, and then you have a little extra time.
But then you close with New York, Arizona, New York. Yeah, see, so Giants,
there's some hope in there.
Cardinals, Giants. So, I got the Eagles 13-4 kind of season.
That is a rough stretch, honestly.
That's a tough stretch, yeah.
339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. LT has been hanging on. LT, you're on with the Drive Guys. What's up?
What's up, fellas?
What's up?
So when a coach is bad and the quarterback is bad, you got two things. Losers. So the owner of the 49ers should go to O'Reilly and get some new parts.
Wow.
Believe that. I said it and I meant that.
You mean coach and quarterback?
Especially the coach. Come on, man. He can't win no big game. Name a big game that he's won.
That Dallas one was big, right? Playoffs last year?
He's won some big playoff games.
That was Dallas, man. Dallas ain't won a big game since Moby Dick was a goldfish.
He won a few years ago, beat the Packers in the NFC Championship game to get to the Super Bowl in 2019.
How old were you? 8 years old? That don't mean nothing. I'm talking about today.
He said he's never won. Right, you said name a big game that he's won.
Don't get on the caller.
No, he's he asked a question.
We're talking about what have you done for me lately. What have you done for me lately?
He has won big games. I mean, he has. It's been a while.
He hasn't done nothing for me lately. Look in your rearview mirror and see if you see it.
That's a great – you know what? This is a great call because I want to know from Niner fans, man, like – is this a make-or-break year for Shanahan? Like, what do you need to see from him this season?
Uh-huh.
Like, is
Shanahan has one big game. Let's not pretend.
No, he's won. Yeah. But you know, we're talking about
he hasn't won a Super Bowl.
He hasn't won a Super Bowl. But when does the heat get turned up on him? When does he take some sort of blame?
If they miss the playoffs this year, there's going to be heat.
So of course, if they miss do they need to win a game? Do they need to win a game in the playoffs?
Probably.
Do they need to go to the NFC Championship game?
It would help. I mean, because if you don't, given the fact that you've been there, things are starting to go the wrong way. But it's not as simple as, you know, let's say you lose next week or you have the bye week, then you lose to Jacksonville. And it's not like, well, Jed York, going to O'Reilly, I'm getting me a new coach.
Right.
You
know, that's not going to happen.
It's not that far along
No,
yet.
I understand
LT's agree. Passion.
I agree. But, you know, if I'm a Niners fan, eventually, you got to win the big game. You
got to advance. Myself.
Yeah, you got to get back there to the Super Bowl. And so, my thing is, sure, you're great in the regular season. You could get us to the playoffs, but you got to win the big games. And if they come up short, it would be highly disappointing if they don't get it to the NFC Championship.
Well, especially
game.
This
Something
year.
Went terribly wrong this year
because it was kind of unspoken that wow, this may be their best last chance. And the company line is, no, we want to be competitive every year. But you know, all during camp, there were a lot of questions about, hey, is this your best chance? Is the window closing?
Yeah.
And all the 49ers said, no, I don't know. I don't even want to go there. So they would push that away, but it's the undertone to this whole season. So right now when you've lost three in a row, that's what they're staring at in the face. It's like, wow, if this thing starts to go the wrong way, if right. we start to, you know, if it starts to unravel before we even get to another Super Bowl,
yeah.
that would be bad. We do have one more piece of sound. Jay, if we could, I forgot to get to this earlier. Kyle Shanahan yesterday talking about Brock Purdy and a couple of his unfortunate throws yesterday. Here's Kyle Shanahan yesterday after the game.
Second interception, were Jennings and Ayuk supposed to be that close together?
Yes. Yeah.
What's the idea of that, having them only 2 or 3 yards apart on the hash? Like that?
No, just when he threw it, the timing of it, but it's just a clear route and an in-breaking route called dagger. It's very normal. Did it? We ran it 3 times in the game.
Was it for the first interception, Kyle, obviously it was a big one down at the 10-yard line. Just how was that play designed to go, and what happened wrong?
There's just supposed to be a handoff to him, and we missed the handoff. And he tried to scramble out of there, and by that time, you don't want to throw it down the field because people are run blocking. So we just missed the handoff and made a mistake after it.
What do you see from Brock right now? 5 picks the last 3 games, no picks the first 5 games. Like, what's going on?
I made some bad picks there at the end. Thought he was one of the reasons we were in the game today. Some of those throws he made out there were unbelievable. The mistake in the red zone, missing the handoff, was the biggest part. And then once you do that, you can't throw it, you're going to get the penalty. But on worse that he got the pick. He was aggressive, thought the mic was going to pass on that second pick, and the mic fell off right with Juwan. So just got to see it.
Yeah, so right now it's trending. Everything's trending in the wrong direction. And I agree with you, and I agree with LT, that if they can't get as far as they got last year, which was the NFC title game, that all of a sudden the seat that Shanahan's on starts to get a little warm. You're supposed to win a Super Bowl. And if you're going the other way, wow, we're not even getting as far as we did last
right.
year. Then with this team and as much money as they're spending on all this talent, then things may start to get a little uncomfortable,
yeah.
especially because he's supposed to be the quarterback guy. And okay, I got my quarterback
right.
now. All right, here we
yes.
go. Wait a minute. What?
Yes. And it's sort of like, what more does this Niners roster need? And, you know, we talked about secondary. All right, you can improve that. You can improve defensively. But, like, it was all there. This was the year. Like, we weren't having these conversations in week one. We weren't questioning the roster in week three. But now all of a sudden you hit a rough patch, and now it's like, oh, man, they need to improve the roster. We weren't saying that in week three. And so I think, you know, when you look at Kyle Shanahan – in this situation with the Niners this season, roster be damned. Anything short of an NFC championship game is a failure because now.
I think so.
Right. Now you can't start making excuses. Oh, man, you know, we need a better secondary. Our pass rush isn't good. All that's on the coach because we weren't saying that in week one.
And you can't blame the defensive coordinator, who
right.
hasn't been great, but
he hasn't been
not
great.
All his fault.
Exactly. And I know D'Amico Ryan's, he was fantastic last
yep.
year. That he had that defense humming. But guys played better, too. And so I don't know if it's a disconnect. You know, there's some people saying, does Shanahan take a more hands-on approach with the defense? That's not his M.O. That's not.
Some people say the D.C. has to be on the field.
On the field and all that. Like, what
difference?
Is that, right?
Oh, that's it. Problem
right.
solved.
Exactly. And so they got to get it together, man. But there's still plenty of time, you know. All they have to do is it's going to have to be on the road, obviously, now, I think. You know, I don't think the Eagles are going to, like, they're going to have
That's
to
it.
Win a game on the road.
That's it.
When it matters the most, and that will answer and shut up all the naysayers.
That was it. That was what they were trying to do. They didn't come out and say it, but clearly they wanted to win
yes.
as many games as possible to avoid having to play the biggest playoff game, specifically the NFC title game,
on
the
road
in Philadelphia. And now it looks like, well, that's best case scenario right now.
Right. You could hope. Right.
Yeah.
You could hope
yeah.
that. I mean, because think about it. Right now, you're 2 games behind the Eagles. Right now, you're
Don't
behind.
Say it. Don't say it.
All right. You're behind the Seattle Seahawks. And so you might be a wild card team. You're going to be a wild card team once the playoffs come.
Yeah. And you can talk about this and that, and we just got to play better, and we know what we need to do. And, oh, everybody's going to have to not point fingers, but right now they're playing bad
yeah.
football across the board.
Yes.
So good luck from here. Get the week off. Good time for the bye week, I guess. And then you got to play Jacksonville And they're 6-2 now.
Yeah,
aren't they?
That's a tough matchup. Jacksonville's they've won 5 in a row right now too.
Yeah.
So they're humming right now.
All right, back to the Kings when we come back. And speaking of back, is Kevin Herter back? It's coming up here with the Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports.